Welcome to Real Talk Sundays, the podcast for the people, by the people.
Because people can't handle real talk no matter what day it is.
No matter what day it is.
It's Pride Day. It's gay day. And that's actually, it's going to be the title of this episode is gay. Because that's what most of us are in this room right now. But no, I forgot to introduce ourselves pretty much the last, I think, 10 episodes. So I'm your host, Amanda. This is my co-host with the most.
Val.
Yeah, we all know.
We all know.
And we like and love
they
you.
They already know.
And you already know. Without introduction. Yeah. Also, this is our 15th episode. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think 20 would be something to celebrate.
Okay, well, yeah. We already popped the champagne.
Oh.
So it's our 15th episode. And also, on our website, so if you go to realtalksundays.com, I had a couple of requests, literally a couple, for the music playlist, and I added our entire music playlist. So if you guys love the music that we play at the end of each episode, you can find the playlist on realtalksundays.com. There's a little tab, and then there's also an entire YouTube channel playlist, so you can check that out. But back to the meat and potatoes. It's Pride Month. How are you feeling? You're gay. How do you feel about it? How are you
feeling? I'm good. I'm gay and engaged. That almost rhymed.
Engaged.
Yeah. Yep.
That is romantic. I know. And so today's episode is really about pride and love and porn. Because those are probably, I think, all three close to my heart. Amanda loves me some porn. So without further ado, we could not do this episode without a special guest or guests. So we're going to bring in our special guests. And we've actually go way back on a couple of these, which is funny how we all kind of know each other. But without further ado, Ricky and Johnny Donovan are joining us. Hello, gentlemen. Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
wait, hold on. Pronouns, theys.
Yes.
Ladies.
She here.
Yeah, she here. Same.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Hello, just ladies.
Hey!
Happy Pride and congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you so much. I know.
One year from today.
Well, no. Few days. Yeah, few days.
Mm-hmm. It's already booked. Super excited. But yeah, so we wanted to open up with a couple of questions. One is, I think the cat's out of the bag, but Ricky and Johnny have been in porn. And so
we have.
Have you? Oh my God. No.
I don't have any proof, but I heard through Amanda.
Bitch.
She subscribes.
Bitch.
Do you know every friend tells us that? I've never seen anything you did.
Oh,
but
bitch.
But I know.
Oh, I've seen it all.
Okay,
oh, bitch.
Okay.
This is how I found you. Okay.
Ooh, I love you.
Years ago. It was years ago. And I remember because I worked with one of you way back in the day, and I remember like all the girlies in the office were like, oh my God. And we were like, yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah. And Chelsea, I don't know if you ever remember Chelsea. I won't give her last name. Okay. Yeah. So we're still friends with Chelsea. And so, yeah, it was a few years ago. I can't remember how many years. Because I love gay porn. Big fan.
Most women do. We found our fan base.
I fucking love gay porn. It's it's my jam. Okay. And I also love gangbangs. I love compilations.
I know where this is going.
And I was scrolling through Pornhub, as one does. And I was like, wait. I fucking know that. I was like, I know that face. It was literally like, I can't even remember, like 12 guys on a fucking picnic table out in the snow, dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And I click on it and it's a compilation. It's like a 43 fucking minute compilation. And I was like, we're going to play this whole thing out. Like, we're just going to go and bingo. It was like, I don't know, like half hour into the fucking movie. And I was like,
the boy.
Like, oh my God, I know him. This is amazing. I fucking send it to Chelsea and I was like, bitch, I was like, you wished on a star, it came true. And she was like, oh my God, that's him. I was like, I know. And then I saw the website because that little like watermark that's on it, and you guys are on a website, and I was like, oh, bitch. It was like an unfolding story fairy tale.
Hold on, first
so
of all,
amazing.
You got the full feature, so we need you to talk to our lawyers.
You talk to Pornhub. Talk to my
actually, the people that we work for own Pornhub, so they did that very intentionally.
Yeah, they honestly own all of porn, basically.
Well, like 80% at least.
So from there, I bought like a 2-day pass, and I was like, which I have never invested a single dollar into porn.
Thank you.
Until that day, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Helped you buy your house, you know? And yeah, it was just great because you guys went on a lot of adventures. It was super great. But no, I just respect the art and I respect the craft. And I also just, I don't know, it was beautiful. And it was a, it was like a Christmas gift to me. All rolled into one. And I was even like, babe, I know him. He's like, that's fucking cool.
So we have like, pictures with them.
Super great. Oh yeah, at the fucking Christmas party, dude. I'm all like, yes. I have a picture with
in
us.
Red. You're
no,
in red, right?
I was
you're
in red, red dress. Fucking no bra, yeah. No panties. And I was
yes,
like,
yes,
yes. Pre-kid body, just peacock. Oh my God. But yeah, it was a magical day. I remember that day vividly. But I love that. But I want to get into a little bit more before we cross the porn barrier. I want to talk a little bit more just about your relationship in the sake of pride. So how long have you guys been together? Well, tell me your love story. I want to know everything about you.
Well, we actually, we went to high school together, but he was a year, Ricky was a year ahead of me, and we had similar friend groups. So, like, years later, we didn't know each other in high school, but years later, I was at a party with friends. It was a Friendsgiving party, and some people wanted to go out downtown afterwards, and I was like, yeah, I'll go, and I went downtown, and I was talking with some friends, and then I, like, wrapped around the bars. This is at the balcony, so you can imagine the dance floor and then the bars that go around the balcony floor. I was walking around that, and then I just literally was looking at other people, and I bumped into him.
Spilled my drink.
Spilled his drink, so obviously I had to buy
pissed.
Him. I had to buy him a new one. So that gave us time to talk.
Pissed,
but
bitch.
Before we even got into the drink, going back to the bar or anything, we just looked at each other, and I was like, hey, you're, because I'd recognized him, and he's like, oh, you're, and then we just started making out, and we did not stop making out for like 2 weeks.
But it was so magical though. Like honestly, I felt like the chills running down like my spine, like everything that like every princess story, like it felt cosmic meeting. For sure.
Wow, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah,
damn.
It felt really good.
Yeah. Shit. And then
it's all in the kiss, I'm telling you. Yeah. There's fucking something. If you can't kiss me right, what else can you not do for me right? But like honestly, when you get that kiss, I remember too kissing my Brandon and being like, oh shit, we're in trouble. Like when it's just on.
It's gonna take
and
some
like,
work.
No, it's when it's on.
Yeah,
no,
that's
when,
right.
Yeah, but when it's good and yeah, you're like, good. Shit, all right, let's get to it. Like we're gonna see what else we can unpack here.
So we spent the rest of the night talking. Until it let, like, and we went back to the Friendsgiving party and hung out a little bit, and then we made it back home, and I rode his dick off and never gave it back.
Yeah. And here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah, miraculously, we sobered up completely before we went back home. We
still liked each other. I love that. We love each other. And how long have you guys been together?
We're going on 9 years in November. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
9 years.
No, we met before the internet.
Shit. No, you just kidding. Dated our asses right now.
It just feels
can't wait
long.
To tell my kids, like, no, before the internet. Like, I remember when it was invented. I remember when all this shit was invented.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, as far as pride goes, like, what does pride mean to you guys?
It's kind of extra special for me and our relationship because I didn't ever participate in pride before our relationship. I would say, you know, I came out when I was 21. And he was out when he was 15, I think. He was like the only out kid in our high school. It's the only thing I knew about him was that he was out. And
I was the queen.
There could only be one. So the rest of us stayed in the closet for a while for his sake. And then I came out at 21 and I didn't really, I was total dom top, mask for mask.
Problematic.
Like, all the things that are really problematic, like, no fats, femmes, Asians. Like, I was all those things when I was 21. I was like, I didn't know about gay sex, so I was very discriminatory about what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got with him, he was already a go-go dancer and an underwear model. And so
I was a fly-around go-go dancer. They used to fly me around.
He wasn't just a go-go dancer. He was like,
I was royalty
bitch.
In LA.
Get it right.
He's like, please. Like, you have no idea.
I had a standing rate.
Right. So now that you cleared that up, the point was he was already invited to Denver Pride that year that we met to go go-go dance. And he gave them the caveat like, well, I'm not really down to do that because I'm in a serious relationship. But if you invite him out, we can do it together.
With a matching rate of mine.
Yeah. So he matched the rate. We got flights. And,
I know.
And we got tips while we were out there. We did like 3 events for Pride. So we got a lot of tips. And we were on the flow and it was just like a really great time. It was one of his best friends that was throwing it. He owns an underwear company called Yosisco, and that's yosisco.com, where sexy starts. And we, I just felt so much love from that. And I met so many people from different areas of the gay community that I hadn't really been exposed to much. I learned a lot about gay sex and gay drugs that weekend. And I think that just
gay culture in general
opened myself up. Yeah. So I was more open to just like expressing my pride for being gay to other people after that.
Yeah. And for me, it's always just been about like being seen, because I felt so unseen as a child. And that's why, like, I came out when I was 16, because I got into a car accident, thought I was going to die. Huge, crazy moment in my life. And I just felt like I was so unseen in that moment when I almost died. So, like, pride every year has always been this about just being seen.
I can say something actually just on, to piggyback on that. That's something, like, was really big about him for me in the beginning of our relationship. I was never comfortable being out in public and looking gay, like wearing things that were more flamboyant or holding hands. Holding hands was a big thing for me, kissing in public. Yeah. And the first time I remember we were out.
I'm weird about that. I'm straight. Like, when I was straight.
I think you were in a dress and high heels. Too. And I was holding his hand, and I was like, I wasn't holding his hand at first, but then we were crossing the street. He's like, here, grab my hand so that he could lead me, obviously. And, I grabbed it, and then people were watching, people were saying things, people were snickering, but I felt like safe in that time because he didn't care at all. So I felt like I shouldn't care. I think that's a lot of what people want to feel in June, is just that feeling of people might be looking or saying things, but you have enough people around you supporting you and making those people feel ashamed for the way that they think about you.
I used to tell them, don't worry about it. They're looking at us because we're interracial. It's fine.
Listen,
we're interracial. It's fine.
It somehow helps to think like, oh, maybe these people are just racist.
I mean, like, did you guys grow up in Idaho? Like,
I was born and raised in Caldwell.
Fuck. Like, C-town, I mean, yeah, you're coming out from, as far as conservative goes, I mean, capital here. So yeah. It's a big, how was that, just being in Idaho?
It was, honestly, I didn't even realize how... like traumatic it was to me until I left Idaho. And when I came back, I felt so empowered because I had like gone to LA and made a name for myself. Nobody gave a fuck about like what I was, who I was, what I did, as long as I was talented.
Yeah.
And so when I came back, it just like, I felt like I led with that energy. Like, pussy forward.
Yes.
Pussy was on fire. Yes. Like, it just felt like.
Go off, King.
Yeah. Like, it's so weird because I was so like oblivious to it all.
Completely. How about you? How's it being, I don't know, a lesbian in Idaho?
Well, I grew up in California, so it wasn't a big deal. I grew up in Orange County, so that mm-hmm. was like you're saying, in LA, like you felt like you were good.
Yeah.
And then I've never experienced discrimination, but we talked about this. Is the only time I've really felt nervous about it was when I went to a wedding venue, and I thought in the car, like, wait, what if they say, oh, who's getting married here? And I say, oh, me and Kayla. And they go, oh, sorry, we're not about that. They could deny you. But I never thought about that until I was driving there. And I'm like, shit, they could deny us. But of course, the lady was fab. And she's like, do you need a mimosa? I'm like, yeah, I do. Bitch, you sold. Like, I was like, we want to get married here. Yeah, here's the check.
She's like, there's a list of cake makers you should not work with.
But yeah, like, that's the only time I've ever felt that. But also, I'm oblivious and selfish, so I don't really care what people think when I'm walking around, to be honest. Amanda knows, like, that stuff doesn't bother me. Kayla more, it does affect her than me because her family's religious, so it's kind of those
super
things. Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Here. At home. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I think that's really hard for the gay community here in Idaho, is there are so many people who still latch on to this religious culture. It might not be that they still believe, they still like follow the dogma, but they want to be accepted by their direct community that they grew up with. So they're okay saying things like, yeah, I just won't shove it in your face, you know, like, because that's a big like religious thing. They like to say, like, we don't care that you are gay or that that's your lifestyle. Just don't shove it down
or
our
trans.
Faces. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So that's a big like toxic thing I see in Idaho a lot, is a lot of gays like, aren't very proud of it.
It's like, why does who I'm fucking matter? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it any of your business? Like, it's fine. Like, just you go on living your life, and I'm gonna live mine. And I'm gonna be kind because I want kindness to come back to me.
Yeah.
It's like, lead like that.
It's really hard, and especially when you're trying to, you know, with the next generation of kids, trying to really educate up and really break that when your family, who helps you raise your children, when the village helps you raise your children, has a bit of a tinge or an approach to it where it's like, well, I don't understand that, or I don't really, I don't agree with that, I don't mind.
Or you look like a bad parent because of your parenting and like acceptance.
It was like, God, well, we're not going to do that. And I was like, I really struggle with it as being part of something so conservative. And I do have family in California who's like, who the fuck cares? What are you fucking talking about? You're raising a human. That's hard enough. It doesn't fucking matter. We're all the same. We're all the same. But yeah, so I love that for all you guys. It's amazing. I think with, as far as history goes, I had to throw this in there because I was like, we have to educate while we're doing this. And part of Pride too is I feel a lot of people, and I follow a lot of influencers on TikTok who are like, there's not a lot of gay history out here. Like, we need to talk about history on this one. And I put on here, do you know why LGBTQ, you know, IA plus, but why it starts with an L? Do you know? I know what the L stands for. You know what the L stands for, but do you know why it starts with L? Yeah. So back in the 80s and 90s, when it was like a big AIDS epidemic, a lot of physicians and hospitals were boycotting homosexuals. They were like, we're not going to give them the quality of care that they need. And then the lesbians stepped up and said, the fuck, we're not. Are we kidding me? Like, and typically they're a bit rivalry, you know, as far as gays and lesbians go, but they were the only ones who rose to the occasion and made sure that they had top care, all the nurses that were available for them, and really got them through just a decade. And a lot of lesbians actually suffered with HIV and AIDS as well, but kind of were silent sufferers and ended up dying because they didn't know that that's what they were ill with. And it affected a lot more than just the gay community. It affected everybody.
Yeah, and it's super important because sometimes it was just that extra, like, holding a patient while they were literally dying in a hospital bed because they weren't afraid about contraction because it was such a, like, miseducation out there. And so lesbians definitely for the win.
They stepped in and basically – oh, go for it.
Though during that pandemic, though, there was also a shortage of blood, and they were, and they even then and still today, gay men are not allowed to donate blood because of anal penetration, the rectum, like tearing and stuff. So, but women could. So the lesbian women were also donating a lot of blood for those
plasma transfusions, all of that, like all the way up through to the 2000s. But that basically is, you know, the community came together and said, all right, L goes first. We're going to have this, you know, this badge of honor.
And our mothers. Kind of, there was an article you had forwarded me about that. And I, because I've heard this before, but that one in particular talked also about how lesbians are so often not included in gay spaces. And that is really true because we go danced in clubs all over the country. And I would say that that's true. But in Boise, I've noticed that it's much more lesbian friendly, and Canada. Canada. Canada's lesbians are a force at the gay clubs. But
it's always Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto lesbians go everywhere.
Going to Toronto.
That's if you like hot lesbians. I think I go to Toronto.
I love hot lesbians.
So yeah, I'm really proud of Boise for that, for creating safe spaces for all different types of transgender, gay, lesbian, IAAA plus IR.
Do you guys know any hot lesbians? Amanda's looking.
I never remember their names because I'm always too hypnotized.
Mask femme movement right now. I don't know.
No, we honestly, we meet so many, so much of the lesbian community because we honestly stumble on like little gatherings, but we are always so super like shy and nervous. So we like kind of stick to ourselves and we always forget to like get like contacts for them.
The gatherings are usually in the mountains.
Like in the forest.
At an REI.
Yeah, we're usually wearing Tevas and we're usually like driving Subarus. I love it.
Yeah, he got his first pair of Tevas the other day and I was like, oh my God, you're a lesbian now.
I was wearing. Do you have those?
What was it? Tevas?
No. Any Tevas? They're outdoor sandals like for Trump. No,
she's a hey dude kind of girl.
I have Air Force Ones on right now. That's who I am.
The other one. Yeah. That was the other, that's the other indicator.
Kayla. No, she's a half. She's more sandals.
But as far as, I don't know, I think moving a swift downshift into, you know, going more into like the porn industry and kind of finding your guys' selves in that. Where did that come from? Like, whose idea was it? You're like, I got an idea, babe, I got an idea.
It was not like that at all. We had specifically talked about not wanting to do porn because we had a friend here in town who was a famous porn star, and
Luke Adams is his stage name.
Yeah, and he
sounds hot.
Was trying to recruit us. He was like, hey, I think you guys would do great, and we're like, no, like we have our careers, we're doing fine. And then we basically got harassed by the Boise Police Department and literally went down a crazy, crazy like court thing that he was stuck with three felonies. I had two. None of them were ours. Like they were not justified at all.
We were basically accused of walking while being Mexican.
And gay.
For me, and gay.
Because it was like an interracial gay couple that got in a fight. An interracial gay couple got in a fight downtown, and we were just walking, and the police all swarmed, and they saw us holding hands, and so they took us down and charged us with, like, so many charges. It was crazy.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So it took me 3 years, or not 3 years. That would have been forever. It took me a whole year just to get all three of those felony charges completely, like, dropped, because they were charging me with all these things that I wasn't even, like, in trouble for. Like, I didn't do any of them, and my lawyer was able to like argue that with all the cop cam and everything, and so with that the lawyer fee was more than what we had. I had just finished college. I had just got my first full-time position as a dental hygienist, and it was just like not a good time for like finances to get a lawyer.
Yeah, I had just left the office that we worked at, and I was a personal trainer full time. And so I was just building my business, and we really just weren't in a place where we could just throw $10,000 at a lawyer.
Yeah.
And if we didn't, we were going to be stuck with these felony charges.
And then we remembered our friend Luke Adams had offered us this little gold mine. And the beauty of all that is that he had fished us around to like, or shopped us around to like different places, but he wanted us to be with the most high end. So we ended up getting with this after much deliberation, like I swear, like 4 months of going back and forth and then putting it away, picking it back up and arguing again.
3 months. It was like September to December that
we
made that decision.
After we finally made the ultimate decision that we were going to do it, we went out, made 12 grand in 2 days. And
shut
like,
the fuck
we're
up.
Hooked.
Hooked.
We're hooked. Fuck that lawyer, bitch. I was like, how did you not fucking sue the pants off of them?
Because that was a real thought that we were having as we were looking at the body footage, and it was just so obvious that they just – and there was even people on the site saying, no, those weren't the guys, and they still took us in. So all that considered, our lawyer still recommended – he said the judges, even though it was a female Hispanic judge that we got, the judges in this town will never side with you. They'll always side with the Boise police. And that was when we knew we had to move.
Yeah. But like that, I mean, that started our mind thinking that we should move out of Boise. But that was like, we had to get into the industry because we needed to make that quick money. And then after that, it became like, okay, we have all this debt we have to pay off. Let's just keep doing this. Like, that was great. Like
many times that idea was like, you know, there's a lot of room out here for a lot of plus size. We should do this. But
and they're super accommodating with your schedule too. Ooh. They're just like, oh, you have to work Monday through Thursday. We'll fly you out on Thursday night after work. Yeah. You'll test Friday. You'll do your fucking on Saturday and Sunday. That will get you back home.
Like, we'll do a red eye. I don't give a shit. Good. Like,
I want to ask this question a little differently, but your romantic life, like, obviously you've been together for 9 years. That's crazy. Shit. That's amazing. Like, congrats. But with you being in the industry and, you know, having sex physically with other people, how does it affect your emotional relationship? Like, are you guys exclusive emotionally or like, are you open? Like, what is the... You don't have to if you don't want to answer that, but I'm just curious.
Next.
No, it's gone through phases, so okay. If you'll bear with me for a second. When we first started just dating, we said that we didn't ever want to do anything outside of our relationship. Within a year of our relationship, we were, like, already trying to, like, include...
That's not realistic.
It wasn't realistic. Yeah. So we included other people, like, mutual friends and stuff, and then we were like... Well, we'll never just be open. Like, we're never going to just, like, have sex with other people outside of our relationship. And when we started with porn, we thought that, you know, we're like, we should stay that way. We should only do porn together. So for that first year, that site that we were on allowed us to do all of our scenes together with other people.
That makes sense.
So we were still doing things together with other people. So that whole year that we were doing that, we were still exclusive. And we honestly did less threesomes and like playing and stuff outside of porn because we were doing porn. And when you're on set, anybody will tell you it's the most professional set. It's more professional than the office that we worked in, I'd say. Like, people are so about their P's and Q's, and they don't want to offend anybody or step on anybody's toes and make anybody feel uncomfortable.
Also, it was the safest for us because we did not want to like get any STDs. We didn't want to like mess with any of our health stuff. So exclusively hooking up with people on set was easier because everybody's tested before you come in. Like the day before you get tested, like, and so we knew our people, who we were hooking up with, and we knew like what their results were.
But we started in 2017, and that was the year that OnlyFans became a thing. And our studio really highly recommended that we don't do that because there were so many lawsuits like in the air, like they weren't sure how it was all going to play out. So for a year, we didn't do that. And then when we did start doing that in 2018, we kind of opened our minds up a little more because then you're having sex with people you're attracted to. Yeah. So that was a little different. Like,
yeah, then, I was totally going
to
ask that.
So that's one of our questions. Fuck. It's like, what if you're not attracted to them?
and you never really are in porn. It's a job. Like, and you never choose your partner. You're lucky if you are attracted to them. That's great. Usually it's a better film. You have better chemistry. Yeah. But you have to just act like there's chemistry whether or not you're attracted to them.
You're a porn actor. You're not like there to like have sex and have enjoy it and have fun because there's like an art to it. Like you have to maintain like this image in your mind and like create that chemistry and create that moment that they're trying to portray. And like you kind of have these meetings leading up to shooting. Like this is a rundown of what we're going to do.
Yeah, here are the visuals we want.
Yeah, and there's like a crescendo that you have to meet and then a decrescendo. And then there's like the whole like after moments, like the kissing and everything that you have to like really stay in character throughout. Whenever a camera's rolling, you have to stay in character.
So then once it got to OnlyFans and it was more personal and we're creating the content, we had to set up boundaries for ourselves of like, we're never going to do it with anybody twice because then you start to connect a little bit more of that emotional. Because you always, when we did the things with people we wanted to do it with, we'd create a friendship. Like we did like those people. Mm-hmm. So it was like, well, we're not going to have sex with them again because now we like these people. So you have to separate the emotional and the physical, like you were saying.
Yeah. It's great that you asked if we're like open emotionally and or just like physically, because that was our biggest hang up was like whether the other person would get emotionally connected to somebody. But I feel like porn really, like the phases of porn that we like just kind of went through kind of built this foundation of communication in our relationship that we didn't know that we needed. So like it low-key helped us in our relationship and with the confidence to be able to like say the things. We have this little thing that we used to do, like pillow talk, where we turn all the lights off, get ready to go to bed, lay down in bed, and we just air our grievances like, hey, I'm feeling this way because of this interaction that happened, and I don't think that I'm okay with that. But and what that does is it allows you a space to like speak without like reprimand or like the fear of reprimand, which I have a huge problem with because growing up, I just never really had that. And so it was like just kind
don't
of
don't use this against me.
Wait, yeah. Like, yeah. Wait, am I being recorded?
Yeah. Fuck.
So I'd say like recommendation for any couple going through some trouble, try porn.
Honestly.
You might like it.
That's what I've said. But we broke, and that's a main form of contention is money.
Yeah.
And also, open sexuality. But there's a huge divide between emotional, physical, especially when you have a partner who's like, I don't necessarily see the physical on the same. On the same, I guess, scale is I consider, kissing a nice handshake, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Where I can absolutely separate church and state when it comes to being physical with somebody. And then you have a partner who's like, no.
Kissing is having sex.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, I think overall, because of co-stars, and I guess it's different with, porns, but I guess you answered that too. I was like, oh my God, have you ever fallen for a co-star? Like you just have insane chemistry and you're like, oh shit.
Ooh. I never have. I don't think I really. I don't know. We've had so many films.
You made a best friend one time.
I made a best friend.
Aiko.
Oh yeah, I made a best friend. That's
like,
my sister.
We collaborated with somebody one time, and then they were just inseparable. That one.
We were so connected. I forgot about
that. That was my sister. Like she was. So we watched Housewives of everything together, and like we were kikiing. Like we had a good time. We took a road trip to LA from Vegas together, like impromptu.
We definitely made some good relationships, but definitely never ever fallen for somebody.
Yeah, I feel like people have been super respectful of our relationship because we set up boundaries and we like let it be known from the jump. And I'm kind of like, I have this like look in my eye, that I think they just kind of get.
Yeah, something. What's the biggest misconception about porn that you would want people to know?
I think that people do think that you're attracted to the people that you're doing it with. Cause so I would get so many messages from people like, I can't believe you're having sex with these ugly people. Like, me too.
I have to fuck that person, bro.
Fuck.
The monkey doesn't like the tambourines either.
I know, but we're making money. Shit. I bet you don't like your job. Yeah.
Or maybe that it's like skeezy, you know? Like, see, people might think that you're on set and like you're just horny the whole time. Like, you're, some people would even bring their, like, their partner. Like, a lot of, we film with straight men a lot. That's a big thing in gay porn. And they'll bring their girlfriend thinking, oh, she's just going to be here to fluff me in between. It's like, that's too sexual. Like, I know this is boring, but that's way too sexual for this. Like, we need to just be on our phones to get hard, and then let's go into the scene. Because doing all the extra, like, emotional thing where you're actually, like, attracted to somebody, this is all, like, really incestuous. It's kind of weird.
I think for me, a huge misconception is the idea that it's everybody's last resort. And not, like, because I had a degree before I went into porn, and I chose to go into porn. And I chose to stay in porn. I, like, could have just done my dental hygiene stuff and lived, like, super happy and totally fine because I was getting paid great. But I really loved doing porn, and I was really good at it. So I was like, let's fucking make this money.
Yeah.
Like, and it was fun. Like, red carpet events and, like, meet and greets and everything.
But the fucking, like, jet skis and shit. I was like, damn, this is a fucking life. And we have a mutual friend, you know, Jake, who's like, oh, bitch. He was like, you've never been to a party, because I've taken him to a couple parties, but there was one party in particular where we had a great time. And he was like, that party on fucking crank, okay? Because you guys lived in Vegas for a while. Yeah. And he was like, he parties. That bitch parties. Yeah. And he was like, I never seen the world like I saw when I went and hung out with them. And it was insane what they were into. It was great. And, like, time of his life.
It's really fun being in that industry, in the entertainment industry in general, but in the sex entertainment industry in Las Vegas. We'll say that people just, like, the club owners love you. You're just invited places all the time. You get free bottle service all the time. You're up until like 6 a.m. And then you're going to after parties, which we never really got into the after parties, but Jake really liked the after parties.
Yeah, we had a really good time in Vegas. It was, but we were a little bit on the, like, lighter end. We were trying to, like, be professional because that's where we were trying to, like, conduct our business out of. But we still got, oh my God, everything that we got from that. It was insane, insane how much fun we had.
It's one thing to be pretty, but to be gay and pretty. Like,
and to be a porn star, gay and pretty, like, all of them.
And at one time, we were even young. Oh, imagine.
Yeah, what's the age cap on porn? What's the age cap?
I think that's however far your imagination.
I want to know. I'm actually, being funny. Like,
for everything. No, so I'm currently on a hiatus. And I am 34, so I was also thinking about doing a comeback in, like, my 45, 50, like, maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
That's a big thing in the gay porn industry is a lot of guys will do their 20s and then take their 30s off and go get a degree and, like, do another job for a while and then get bored and they'll come back in their 40s as a different type. So, like, a lot of times they'll be twinks when they're 20s and then they'll be daddies in their
40s. Like a marketing degree. And
twinks? So. I've never heard of that in my life.
Shut up. Your gay badge has been revoked.
Dude, no, twinks really make not the world a good, go round. I'm really not good at that stuff. Like, I just lit. I don't know. I'm just not. I don't know labels. I'm just not a good person, it feels like.
So Johnny was never really a twink, but I was a twink?
Shut up. You don't know.
I had twink energy. Tell me what it means first. God damn it. I feel like an idiot.
So he was a twunk. I was a twink.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, a twunk is a hunky twink, so you have muscle.
Okay.
But I was still like 160. No, twinks, I think a twink caps.
I was 99 pounds.
I think a twink caps at like 160.
120. Wait, what was
I like? I was like 99 pounds, like skin and bones. The fuck, like dancing on a box in my underwear as a twink.
A twink usually is like, it looks like they're 16. They might be 23, but they look like they're 16 and they have a giant dick.
Giant dick.
I would have never known that's what the definition was. Just saying.
No, no, there's quite
I'm
a
just
market.
So into this right now. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Twinks are like the
I've never
the
watched your guys' porn. I'm sorry I didn't subscribe. I don't watch
you don't
porn.
Watch porn.
Yeah, like I just don't need to. I just don't need to. I don't know. I'm pretty beige.
Oh no,
honestly, I'm a pillow princess.
Well, if you get any deeper, Val, you might need a condom because this is gonna get a little less beige.
Oh no, she's used one of those.
Not painting.
I'm always curious too because we always joke about this, like serious about going into OnlyFans, right? OF is such a huge, has just come in and taken over with a vengeance. And there is definitely a rivalry between porn community and OnlyFans. And especially when it comes to, I've noticed like with Best Of, when it comes to a lot of the award shows and everything, they this level of disrespect almost that's coming. But I feel like we're almost getting over this hump, or we're reaching the peak of it to where business is business. And instead of going and, you know, we're just picking a different platform at this point, and we're becoming entrepreneurs, pornpreneurs, if you will. So we're just taking the power back, because that industry isn't a healthy one, and it's gotten a lot of shit, especially when it comes to like the female side of it. I know they've gotten a lot of rap for just really not treating their co-stars well, and not paying what they deserve, and really unsafe environments.
Not treating women well? Which co-stars?
Overall, like just the porn community and getting a lot of kickback. So a lot of women and men alike have been like, you know what? We're going to go to a different platform, and we're going to take it back. We'll give the platform a cut, absolutely. But this is now ours. And so how do you feel, in your professional opinion, this bridge to now more of OnlyFans, or marketing yourself and cutting out the middleman that is, you know,
so
porn?
It takes a lot of work to do OnlyFans, and if you're willing to do it, I say more power to you, because it's creating spaces where there never were. Like, trans porn, as an example, has always been, like, fetishy, or, like, having people of color in porn has always been, like, it's always come from, like, a fetish standpoint.
Yeah.
But when you're the person creating the porn and the art, you can create the voice
any
that you want. You can
you
do
want.
Anything that you want. You don't have to be the pig slut power bottom unless you want to.
Mm-hmm. But it's been really cool to see those people, like, especially trans people and people of color, take that power back and show what they want, what they're comfortable doing. That's not, like, more on the fetishy side that's been popular. And then these studios seeing that is taking off, like, that people want to watch that, and over people are choosing to watch that. And now we're seeing, because we do still do studio work, that those studio scenes are changing based off of what people are doing on OnlyFans. So we're seeing more people of color, we're seeing more trans people. I film a lot more trans porn now, both trans women and trans men, but the site I film for is men.com. But now they're including trans men in that. And that wasn't really a thing before. So I think that's a result of what he said.
Yeah, and it also, like, I feel like it kind of created almost like a union of porn stars. Because before, we used to have this, like, a lot of, just across the board, porn stars got paid $1,000 or less. And unless you're, like, really good, you get paid, like, $1,500 is, like, the most. Like, it caps at that. Or if you're an exclusive model, like, you just have it, like, has those levels. But women, trans men and women, and yet people of color were the ones that got paid, like, under $1,000. Like, there's this porn star that I know, Armand Rizzo, that won basically, like, an Oscar of porn, like, performer of the year, like, 3 or 4 years in a row, was still getting paid, like, $700 per shoot. Like, how can you? Meryl Streep wouldn't be paid that. Like, no, not at all. So I feel like doing the OnlyFans stuff kind of created a union space where we can, like, all have our own, like, pay and negotiate a little bit better.
Yeah. So your value and demand for it. And also, I think it gives a little bit more of creative freedom and artistic freedom. So absolutely. It's a little more liberating. But yeah, and I think a lot of the when you're somebody who's like, oh, should I do this? It's really quite an undertaking. I know you joke about it. And you're like, we can start this. We can make some money on the side. It'll be a nice little hobby. No, this shit's full fucking time. Like, and a lot of the backlash that you're going to get from that. And there was even, you know, like, a lot of people who are coming out now in professional settings and even in legislature who are like, I had a fucking OnlyFans. Oh, so what?
Yeah.
Fucking so what? Like, it's a job. You've had jobs that you didn't like doing either when you were younger. It is what it is, but I make money off of it. And then, you know, it doesn't take away from me as a business, you know, as who I am and what I can do and what I can deliver. But I think over the years too, how do you see that stigma changing because of OnlyFans?
I feel like at the end of the day, like, if you show that you can, like, bring your talents, whatever the job is, like, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past, because it doesn't affect any of the jobs that you do in the future. Like, I hope that that's where it goes. And I feel like it's becoming more mainstream now. Like, Beyonce said it in a song, and now everybody loves it.
All these, like, Disney
celebrities are
Disney
getting
Channel
in there.
Stars getting in on it, yeah.
And that was a big thing, too, is, like, a lot of OnlyFans channels, like, a lot of people have this mock for, okay, yeah, it's sexual content. But you have a lot of entrepreneurs on there who are just trying to maybe sell a course or sell a line of courses, or, you know, just get their start because it's an easy platform to navigate and set up. Has nothing to do with sexual content.
It wasn't originally supposed to be sexual.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we have all these people with, like, crazy fans on Instagram, they could start a fan page and people pay to see their exclusive content.
All the hosting and all the
Nobody knew it was going to be sex-exclusive content.
Here we are.
What is something, because it is your professional job and everything, what is something that you found that you didn't like that you never thought of before you said yes? Like when you got into it, you're like, look, they didn't say that in the contract, or they didn't say that when we visited.
For me, it's pushing cum out of your ass.
Fuck.
That's really hard to do.
It really is.
Without farting.
Or making some kind of mess.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Like,
yeah.
You know what's supposed to come out of there?
Mm-hmm. But that's not what you're
saying. I do.
About.
I do.
She don't play.
Literally, she don't play.
I couldn't even imagine. Like, growing up, don't get me wrong, like, I, for my own private, like, I was big on, we need to set this up, we need to record it. Like, you know, a lot of my shit that...
Amanda's probably out there somewhere, to be honest.
I'm surprised I'm not. I'm honestly... There was one time,
they
though...
They saw you, actually.
actually? Bitch, you are.
We used one of your scenes to inspire one of the ones
welcome.
I did, actually.
You're welcome. That's pre-kid body. You're never going to get that again. 21-year-old Amanda.
Fuck, dude. I'm actually, you know, very blessed that I came up in an era where that wasn't something that was used against me. Because that was a big thing. I was always like, yeah, fuck. I mean, look at me. Fuck, let's put it on film. And honestly, glad I was able to get out of that relatively unscathed. But there was one time when I was watching and I remember this vagina. I was like,
that looks so familiar.
Oh my God, that's my fucking vagina. And I have a very distinct freckle. And I was like, oh my God. And I remember just watching the whole thing and you couldn't see her face. I was like, shit, this is fucking me. And then it wasn't, thank God.
Like, oh,
but
no, it's
also, but thank God. I was like, what's up, sister? What's up, sir, vagina? That's cute. I like that. I thought it was unique. But it was definitely a big one. But I know we're kind of encroaching on time, but I did want to know, like, just because we're big on body image and we're big on just, you know, with being plus size and coming in, and you guys are very fit. You guys are very much, you know, a part of the aesthetic that's after. But what is it like with body image in, one, the gay community, but now into porn and into that community, and how you got to maintain or the stigma against it?
I've always had a problem with that in the porn industry. So that's actually why I left, because it was more of like for a mental health move. Because I was getting to the space where I didn't, like, I was just breaking down mentally, because I didn't feel like I had this, like, body dysmorphic, mentality. It was just super hard for me because I never really felt like I was of the aesthetic. And I would get a lot of different comments from the site that I was on, because I was a person of color on that site, and it's predominantly white. Most of the models were predominantly white. And the fan base is all white. So that was like a really hard, body image has always been a really mental health struggle for me. So I decided to leave the porn industry to explore like my mental health more and get better about myself. And I feel like now I'm at a better space. And within the gay community, like I've always just like, I don't know, I feel fine in the gay community. It was just like that magnifying glass of being in front of an audience. That's what was hard for me.
Fucking zoom in. Yeah. Like, they see everything.
For me, though, I never felt like, I mean, obviously there's body image. We all have some dysmorphia about our bodies and everything. Every gay man does. Before doing porn, I constantly thought about my body. I was a personal trainer. Like, there was no reason to be concerned about my body, but I thought about it constantly. But when I started doing porn, the thing that shocked me with the whole body image issue was, it was actually when we started doing OnlyFans. When we were doing it, we don't really do it anymore, but when we would collaborate with guys that we liked, like the nice personality that we knew we would vibe with and have a good time, and they weren't always the most fit guys. And we would get crazy amounts of comments about that, or people would just say, I'm not subscribing to your site anymore because you just fuck ugly guys. And they're by no means ugly people. They just didn't all look like me. They really hated when I had sex with anybody who wasn't white with blue eyes. Because I'm white with blue eyes. And they always say this, you should be with another white, blue-eyed guy. Like, specifically that. Yeah, another fit guy. And so that almost made us just want to have sex with more other shapes. Because it just made people so mad. But yeah, that's definitely a big, big thing in the industry.
Damn. Yeah.
A lot to say on my fucking channel. Like, Jesus.
It's crazy because,
then
like,
unsubscribe.
Right? Unsubscribe. There's a button for you right there. We don't need your money, girl.
That's crazy. Well, no, but I see that, too. And that, I think that's a big one, too. Like, when whenever B and I are like, well, we could do mass and people don't like it. And like the thing that really comes and holds me back is the effects that would have on, you know, if I ever did want to get a big girl job, which that's out the window. We're done with that. We're done. We gave up that dream. We're not there. But two is my body and having a post-child body and understanding that there's going to be a lot of criticism that comes.
People are mean.
Yeah, people are fucking mean behind a keyboard. Keyboard warriors.
But not only are people going to, like, attack you for having that body, people are going to like you specifically for that body. And right? They're going to say disgusting things that are going to make you uncomfortable.
Double-edged sword. Where you're like, shit, I can't. You can't really win. But I mean, I guess if I'm bank, but at the end of the day, you have to have really fucking thick skin.
This photographer that we worked with in Dallas, Fort Worth, Mark Henderson, he said something that's like always stuck with me. Like, you can't put any clout in the good or the bad, because once you do, then you give it all a space in your life, and you just have to continue doing your thing without worrying about any of the good or bad.
Yeah, he always said, don't read the comments. The good ones are just going to inflate your head, and then the bad ones are going to be hurt that much more because you took the good ones seriously.
Mm. Yeah.
Good advice.
Oh my gosh, that's so good to end on. If that's like,
I did. I was like, what advice would you give? Like specifically, I guess. In the porn community, or like even in the gay community, because again, coming up in a conservative state, but also there's just a lot of turbulence right now, which is fucking shitty because we've just made so much progress. But at the end of the day, like, what would you give our youth? Like, just the LGBTQ plus, you know, IA plus, like that community, being a strong couple, being proud of who you are and enjoying pride and finding it, what would you tell, just youngsters out there?
I would definitely say, like, it gets better for sure. Like, and I know that's, like, super cliche to say, but it honestly does. And, like, maybe your environment that you're in now is not where you're meant to be.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point in your life you're going to get to that space where you feel the most seen.
Find
and it's
going to
be fucking amazing.
Something I feel like I need to tell them is I get a lot of messages from younger guys. Like, I started watching the site that I'm on when I was 16, and a lot of the people who messaged me did too. They started watching me when they were 16. Now they're 22. It's ridiculous. But
watch them grow up, you know?
It's for real. But they messaged me all these really insecure things about, like, you're so perfect. How do I get like this? How could I do this? And what I always try to say and what I want every young gay person to know is just to look at the best version of yourself that you can be, and don't compare yourself to other people, because I didn't look like they did when I was 16, and they're not going to look like me when they're 33. We all are going to have our own journey, and just be as healthy as you can be, and don't worry about, you know, comparing yourself to other people, because that's where we get so toxic in our community.
How about you? Now that you're, you know, kind of living the dream too, and even going through like planning a wedding and like being a part of a lot of that stigma and the gender roles that come with planning a wedding, but what would you tell just young gays? Young queer out there. Queer
ear. Wow, I've never been asked this before.
I know, I've never asked you anything about
this. I think just to not care what other people think, and because I think we overthink things and be like, oh, if I decide, because this is a funny thing, I'll say one comment that I don't remember saying, but when I first got with Kayla, I told her, well, don't worry, this isn't going to last. Like, I literally said that because I was like, you know, this is just something I want to do right now. And here I am. And I'm going to marry her. So she reminds me of that, to be funny. But yeah, so I think just because in that moment, I did care about what people think, my family, all those things. But I just think, and also support, even if you're not gay, support your gay friends, because I was surrounded by people that were gay when I was in, because It's a stereotype, but playing sports all your life, you're going to be come across people that are lesbians. And I supported them no matter what. They were my best friends. I didn't care who they were with or who they liked. So I think that on the flip side of like, just support people with what they want to do and who they want to be so they can be happy. That's all. Happy. Yeah.
It's all about happiness. Yes. Happiness.
Life is too short.
Happiness.
Life is too short.
It really is. Be you. Fuck everybody else. Win, 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 win.
Life's too short, and so is this podcast. Let's keep going.
Let's go. I was like, six more questions, but it's fine. We're at the hour mark. But I just really want to thank you guys for, no pun intended, for coming. And for being our guests.
Later.
For just opening up and just being a part of this and getting the message out there. Because I think for us, you know, this is new to us. This is a journey and we're fucking loving it. And I think lending our ear to things that we don't know and having opportunities to educate, you know, us as well as our listeners and everybody else is just really bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
Thanks for thanks for hosting us. We love a top who can host.
I know.
Anytime. And people can't see you right now, but you guys are so cool. Like, I know that sounds stupid,
like, what
but
the
like,
fuck am I gonna wear?
I was like, what am I gonna wear? Stylish. They're so much cooler than me.
Yeah, it's free outside.
They're so fucking cooler than we are.
You know, it's yeah, it's definitely been a pleasure. I'm excited to learn more, but also we have a wonderful artist and song featured. This is. In true Pride fashion, this is 070 Shake, Somebody Like Me. This one goes way back for us. I think this is one of the original artists. I don't know. Did Bea introduce?
He did, of course.
Yeah, one of the original artists Bea introduced to everybody. And yeah, she's fire. So take a listen and enjoy. But thank you for listening to Real Talk Sunday. Just kidding.
I saved you from the ring of fire. Ooh, now you let me fill all your desire. Does this make you think? Does this make you shout? Does this make you think? Does this make you think? Does this make you shout? Open it up. Every time you blink, every time you blink, the darkness is around. Roaming through the streets, lonely as can be. Every time you sneeze, God don't bless you, God blessing me. And don't be walking all alone, cause these hearts are impure just like you.
I'm looking for ownership. They brought us in here together. I'm looking to ownership. Like, I woke up like Johnny Depp. The Lone Ranger in the dark shadows. Donnie Brasco trying to infiltrate the castle. Cause they fear the black masses. A public enemy. Cause I ain't here to kiss no asses. We just need a transcendence in this world where your friend could be your foe. Waiting for you to blow. Coming for what I'm owed. Ain't no fear. And nobody cares to wipe away your tears over here, baby.
Name somebody like me.